KNX News, 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Brought to you by LMU Loyola Law School.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
Well, it's an even dozen days until Election Day, so thank you for counting down with me and Mike Simpson, who's in today for Margaret Carrero. 18 million Americans have already gone to the polls with this election already in full swing. On today's Countdown 2024, how will a Trump or Harris administration affect your taxes? We'll talk with the commissioner of the IRS on the competing tax policies of the two candidates and getting you ready for the 2025 tax season, which, unfortunately, will be here before you know it. But first, this.
We were teased with this once before. Think back to the Democratic National Convention in August. There were rumors of the special guest who was going to be there. They were saying Beyonce. She didn't come, but guess where she's going to be? Houston. She will be joining the VP for a big rally tomorrow in Texas. Already unusual for Democrats to be campaigning in the closing days of the race in red Texas. But Beyonce, just one of the several big stars who've endorsed Harris and are doing shows for her.
Donald Trump says that if he's elected, he will be firing special counsel Jack Smith, who was appointed to investigate several of Trump's alleged crimes within 2 seconds, that's a quote, of retaking the White House. Speaking to conservative talk show host Hugh Hewitt, the former president called Smith, and I'm quoting again, crooked and a very dishonest man. Trump says he's not concerned about being impeached again if he were to fire Smith.
And Marist releasing another one of the last surveys of the battleground states this cycle. You probably already guessed it. Yeah, razor thin still. Donald Trump maintains very narrow leads in Arizona and North Carolina. The two candidates tied up in Georgia, and all these polls results were well within that margin of error. Essentially, we are still in a dead heat.
Well, one candidate wants to keep a huge spending increase flowing to the IRS and has plans to raise the corporate tax rate and wants an increase of audits on the richest Americans. The other candidate wants to cut off most of that new funding for the IRS, wants to give bigger tax breaks to corporations, and in fact is offering up tax breaks to pretty much every segment of the population and the economy. So, how will tax policy be impacted in a Trump or Harris administration? To help us try to answer some of that right now, we've gone right to the top. Danny Werfel is Commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service and joins us today on Countdown 2024. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Before we go any further, you know that so many Americans, no matter Republican, Democrat, Independent, they hate the IRS. How do you deal with that?
Well, I like to say that it's in the brochure as the tax collector to not be popular. We don't take the job for being popular. I liken it, actually, given the Rams have a home game tonight, to the NFL referee. We will get booed if we get the call wrong by 50,000 people. We will get booed if we get the call right by 50,000 people. But I think about the Super Bowl and the end of the game and how much joy and entertainment and economic activity the Super Bowl brings.
Right.
And no one's going to throw a parade for the referees, but you don't have the game without the referees.
Yeah, but you're sitting on a plane, right, maybe, and somebody sitting next to you. Right, and they say, oh, so what do you, small talk, and they say, what do you do? And you go, I'm the head of the IRS, and they go,
oh, wow.
Yes. Again, it might surprise you, but at the IRS, we take it as a point of pride that we have signed up for work that is unheralded. It's kind of like someone has to do this job, but people are passionate. And it would probably also surprise a lot of Americans that what we're passionate about is helping taxpayers. We have a very complicated and stressful tax system. Most interactions that you have with the IRS is someone either sitting across from you in a walk-in center or someone on the phone on our 1-800 numbers saying, how can I help? I know that this is complicated. Let me see if I can make it less complicated for you. Another thing that probably would surprise Americans is we make it a priority that we want people to pay what they owe and not a penny more. And so it's very important to us that taxpayers get it right. And that means that they get the refund they're entitled to, the credit they're entitled to, and they don't get overtaxed.
How have we gotten to a point where it is so complicated? And everybody agrees that it's so complicated, yet we can't quite you know, purge a few pages out of these giant binders.
Yeah, and that's probably central to what the IRS commissioner is responsible for is when it comes to different tax laws and tax policies, where we weigh in is not on what the tax bracket should or shouldn't be, it's can we implement it? And as a general rule, the more simple the tax provisions are, the more simple the eligibility criteria are for a credit, as an example, the more we're going to be in favor of it. So we push as hard as we can for simplicity to make the life of taxpayers easier and ultimately to make the IRS job more effective because we are helping taxpayers navigate that complexity. But we don't always win out, and Congress often enacts laws that are complicated. And we grab the baton and we implement from there and do our best to work with taxpayers to navigate that complexity.
Okay. For those of you just joining us, this is Countdown 2024, and we are talking with Danny Werfel, who is the commissioner of the IRS. Let's dig down a little bit now into tax policies. So, and I know you can't choose sides, but maybe you can help explain to people what each candidate's different tax policies would do to the average American who is trying to be law-abiding and paying taxes. Because you have one candidate, Donald Trump, whose position is that there needs to be more tax cuts for the wealthy because it'll trickle down. And then you have another candidate, Kamala Harris, who says, no, we need more tax cuts to help the middle class. Is one right and one wrong? They can't both be right, or can they?
Well, from the IRS standpoint, there's no right or wrong. We will, as I said earlier, grab the baton on whatever the changes are. And changes are coming. In particular, regardless of what a candidate might say on the campaign trail, sometimes things get said and they're acted upon quickly, and sometimes they get said and they get deprioritized. But one thing's for sure, the tax cuts that were enacted in 2017 during the Trump administration are set to expire in 2025. And so there will be a moment coming up where whoever's in the White House and whoever is controlling the House and Senate will come together to figure out what to do with these expiring provisions. So, for example, the corporate tax rate, which was adjusted in 2017, that adjusted downward, will now revert back to the original tax rates starting in 2025. So a decision is going to need to be made. And again, what I will be at the table saying if I'm, you know, if I get a seat is don't make it too complicated. Let's keep it simple. But I would never take a position on how the tax policy should be formulated in terms of benefiting this type of taxpayer versus that.
There is a through line for both of them, though, and this has been well covered. They're both going to be really, really expensive. I mean, they're both going to add a whole bunch of money to the deficit.
Well, the reality is when, as you note, when you cut taxes, the revenues and receipts generally tend to go down. And particularly, we have an organization in government called the Congressional Budget Office, CBO, and they're the scorekeeper. I'm not the scorekeeper at the IRS. They're the scorekeeper, and they decide.
But you read their stuff.
Yeah. I do. I like to say I'm a government geek. I actually would be interested in reading a CBO scoring document. I will say.
Gather around, everyone. We're going to read some CBO reports together.
Hey, don't threaten me with a good time. But I will say that one of the interesting things about these costs, you know, what costs and what saves money, is funding the IRS typically saves money for taxpayers as part of when you evaluate the deficit. So when there's a suggestion that we should cut the IRS budget, our friends at CBO will say, well, if you do that, it will increase the deficit. If someone comes along and says we should increase the IRS budget, CBO will come out and say, well, that will reduce the deficit. And there's reasons for that.
Well, and this is where there's no way but to become sort of somewhat partisan about this whole thing. And by the way, we were talking with Danny Werfel, who is commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service. I mean, it's no great secret that Republicans want to greatly decrease the funding for the IRS, or at least many of them do. And that would present a problem, would it not, in collecting taxes, in making sure that those who owe money, especially large corporations, are paying their fair share. So there is kind of a right answer and a wrong answer, isn't there?
Well, let me start by saying, again, there's a solemn responsibility at the IRS. We have to be nonpartisan and nonpolitical. And on January 20th, when a new president takes office, you know what we'll be focused on at the IRS is the fact that filing season is about to start. So I like to.
I love that time of year.
Yeah.
It's like the fall.
When a new president gets inaugurated, my hope is that the air traffic controllers are focused on airline safety. My hope is that the food safety inspectors are just inspecting the food and not caring. And when the new president is sworn in on January 20th, that the IRS will be focused on making sure that all our systems are ready for the start of tax filing season. So it's a lot of nuts and bolts work. But with respect to our budget, what my job to do is to explain the consequences of lower funding versus higher funding, and then let whoever has been elected to the presidency and to Congress make their decision. But my job is to make sure it's an evidence-based decision. And without sufficient funding at the IRS, it means we can't answer as many phone calls, we can't keep our walk-in centers open for as long hours, or they're understaffed, we can't train our workforce so that it is knowledgeable about the latest tax laws so that it can help taxpayers. And one of the key issues that I would raise is the growth and emergence of tax scams and schemes that are really harming and victimizing a lot of taxpayers across the country. And if we're underfunded, we can't do all the education, outreach, and disruption of these tax scams that are important. So I'll make that case. It'll be dispassionate and nonpartisan, and then the powers that be will decide what to do with it.
We're with Danny Werfel, Commissioner of the IRS, and he's sticking with us here on Countdown 2024.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to Thursday's Countdown 2024, along with Mike Simpson and from Margaret Guerrero. I'm Charles Feldman.
And with us here, Danny Werfel, Commissioner of the IRS.
You mentioned before we went into the break about the IRS's efforts to educate the American population about various schemes that are out there, all of which, of course, are designed to take money illegally from the pockets of Americans. Are there ones that are sort of new that maybe people are totally unaware of and might be, entrapped by?
Well, the newest ones that we're seeing are the social media scams and schemes. And so the way that works is there are these viral videos or reels. Some people call them life hacks. Here's how you can get free money from the IRS. And the idea is you apply for some type of credit that you are clearly ineligible for. A good example that we saw last filing season was the fuel tax credit. Typically, if maybe you own a fleet of aviation or you run a 1,000-acre industrial farm, you may be eligible for a fuel tax credit. But if you're just commuting to a 9-to-5 job and buying gas, you're not. Yet, so many Americans saw videos on social media saying, hey, I'm going to apply for this fuel tax credit. And even though last year, let's say they got a refund of $300, now they're expecting a refund of $30,000. And we had to stop their tax return. That means they didn't get their $300 refund while we sorted it out, and they may be subject to penalties.
So I shouldn't have applied for that credit. Okay.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Well.
Charles, that was a mistake.
It's one of those too good to be true kind of things.
Yes.
Yeah,
So social media is the wrong place. Like, if you want to, Charles or Mike, learn how to fold a fitted sheet, go to social media. That's where you're going to learn. But if you want tax advice, the last place you should go is social media. And I should say that one of the things we're trying to do at the IRS is penetrate this marketplace. And what we've learned about social media is people love cat videos. Maybe some of those cat videos are giving you bad social media advice. So we have...
Does the IRS have a TikTok?
We don't have a TikTok because government agencies aren't allowed
TikTok,
on TikTok.
That's true.
But on the other, yes, we do. And what we've done is we've deputized my cat. Emmett the cat
to your cat,
my cat. I'm his human, and he's on our Instagram feed and our social media feeds, telling the truth about tax scams. So this is us trying to communicate with the public and get information out.
Does that mean you can deduct your cat as a business expense?
I would not do that. I don't comment on my personal tax situations.
What do you think it is? Is it just like that someone thinks that the money is so appealing, or do they think that there's some secret way, because they heard, you know, some accountant is always gaming the system somehow, and they think they can get the $30,000? Or is it just...
I think it's just part of the biorhythm of social media, this idea that here's a trick to... And that's why I use the fitted sheet example, because you can go on these sites and you can figure out things in a quick way and get help. But if you extend that, and what happens is the social media influencer has started to realize that if they post something, whether it's accurate or not, they're going to get a lot of foot traffic and a lot of clicks. Meanwhile, people are ultimately the victim of that because it's disrupting their process. They're not getting the refunds they're eligible for. They're potentially eligible for penalties. Let me also talk about another scam that's worrisome, and that is the IRS impersonator. This is when we see people get an email, a text, a phone call.
I was going to ask you that. I once got a phone call from
someone saying that they're the IRS, where it's almost virtually certain that it's not the IRS. The reason is because when we reach out to taxpayers for the first time with an issue, we write a letter to your home or your business.
This is a snail mail operation.
It is. We do not call or email or text you, especially if it's an issue that we're reaching out to you for the first time. So what I like to tell people is, like, if it's a text or phone call or email, it is most likely not the IRS. If we need you, we will write a letter to your home or business. If someone is threatening you with immediate law enforcement or deportation if you don't pay, we don't do that. That is not the IRS. And if someone is demanding payment in a certain way, like a prepaid debit card, we do not accept money that way, and we do not demand certain types of payments. So these are the signs. Go to irs.gov, search scams. We have the latest scams. We have all this information that you can learn on whether you're being scammed or not.
But you did leave a little opening. You said that if you get a phone call, it's most likely not.
The only narrow opening I would provide is that if you have gotten a letter from the IRS and then another letter and then another letter,
then we're gonna,
and you haven't responded, we will sometimes try to call you. But I would say 9,999 times out of 10,000, hang up. It's not us. And if you're so inclined, report it to us, because then you're not only protecting yourself, you're protecting your community.
All right, we're with the commissioner of the IRS. Quick break, and then closing out the show with him.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
And welcome back to Thursday's Countdown 2024, along with Mike Simpson, who's in for Margaret Carrero. I'm Charles Feldman.
We have Danny Werfel with us, Commissioner of the IRS.
So, spicing things up, let's talk about salt.
I see what you did.
You see what I did there? Okay. Explain to our listeners what salt is and why, for people here in California in particular, it's a really important issue.
Well, it stands for state and local tax deduction. And the way the tax system works is that if you're a taxpayer that itemizes their federal return, then you can deduct your payments that you make to state and local taxes, so you don't get doubly taxed. The law that was passed in 2017 that we talked about earlier that changed the corporate tax rate, it placed a limit on how much taxpayers could deduct. $5,000 for people that are married but filing separately, and $10,000 for all other taxpayers. Previously, there hadn't been a limit. And so for a lot of Americans, and in particular Californians who have a high income tax in the state, it meant they couldn't deduct as much. And so there were people that were concerned and likely would like to see that that limit eliminated. Again, at the IRS, we are agnostic on the outcome, but we are preparing for the fact that that limit expires in 2025. And so there'll be a debate coming up in terms of what to do with salt limits. So Californians should be paying close attention to the big tax debates that are coming up in 2025.
What's my easiest way to get in and get out? You got the direct file, you got all these new things you're working on.
Yeah, so another thing that's highly relevant to Californians is that last year we launched for the first time ever a way to file directly with the IRS electronically for free. And California was one of the states that we started with, and we'll do it again this year. There was roughly 33,000 Californians that filed because we started small. But this year, more than 5 million Californians will be eligible. And we encourage you to go to irs.gov, search direct file. It is a new product, and in our first year, we got a lot of positive reviews on it. It's a way to file, and we're trying to simplify the journey, and this hopefully does that.
So maybe I don't have to pay my accountant thousands of dollars every year.
Let's go to Danny here instead. He'll get it done for you.
All right. Thank you very much. That's Danny Werfel, who is commissioner of the IRS. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us. Coming up on Friday's Countdown 2024, some see her as a principled progressive and environmentalist who keeps making an honest run at the White House, while others see her as an ill-intentioned spoiler. Dr. Jill Stein, who's the Green Party candidate for President of the United States, is going to join us tomorrow on Countdown. And remember, we are here every weekday afternoon at 2:30. If you miss a show, catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Countdown 2024 and follow the show.